Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, time to talk accessible information. RNIB campaigns have been working extremely hard looking at the information you get if you're blind or partially sighted. It could be from your GP, it could be from other sort of health and medical professionals, but it's about all about getting it in an accessible format. Now, to tell us a bit more, we have with us Marie Jenkins from RNIB Campaigns. Marie, thank you very much for joining us. And perhaps you could tell me, first of all, what difficulties do visually impaired people have when it comes to getting accessible information?
Thank you very much for having me. It's a huge list, actually, of things. Some things that are really simple that people take for granted, stuff like getting a letter from your doctor to say, come in for your flu jab once a year, or even more important stuff like you need to come to the hospital for an injection clinic for managing the visual impairment that people have. There's a huge range of things, and our members have been telling us for a really, really long time that this is the worst thing that they're having to deal with. And it's completely unacceptable, frankly, that we're living in a society where technology is great and we're doing huge amounts of strides elsewhere, but still people are getting letters from their doctors, really important things, in a format that they just can't access.
You mentioned members there, Marie, so people have been getting in touch with their own personal stories.
Yes, we've had huge amounts of stories come through, and sadly they're all pretty depressing and pretty widespread. We've had people who have been sent their annual injection clinics appointments and then it's been changed, but the letters come through and they've missed the appointment because they haven't realised the date has been changed. Often that means a problem with the hospital and them saying, well, if you don't turn up, then we're not going to see you again. We've also had really horrible stories of people having to rely on their friends and their neighbours or their husbands even to read their information to them, read quite sensitive information about health conditions and medical issues. And that's, you know, a really unacceptable one. The most simple one that we seem to get lots and lots of calls about are people who go to hospital, manage to get to their appointment on time, and then miss their appointment because they've been sat in the waiting room. The sign's bleeped up with, can Mrs. Bloggs go to room 5, please, or consultant room 5? And no one's actually come out and said to them, this is where you need to go, your appointment now. There's some really simple things that we're still missing out on.
You're obviously using some very pertinent circumstances that people have been exposed to there, but even things like information in general. I mean, I recently moved home, Marie, and I went to register at the local health centre, which has got three different practices, and I went in and I asked, and I was basically given three leaflets to pick which doctor surgery I wanted to go to. So, you know, just information from even just picking a GP.
It's really simple stuff that people haven't thought about and just assume that everyone can read what they're given. The most basic of information. It really is not just the big stuff, obviously, which we're concerned about. It's the really basic stuff like you've experienced yourself. Just simple things like choosing your doctor or information about what services the practice offers.
So tell us about the campaign itself, Marie. What are you hoping to achieve?
Well, since we've been campaigning for a really long time on accessible health information, there's a new accessible health information standard that NHS England have come out with. Now, this comes into effect finally and completely on the 31st of July this year. It's been around for a while, and so doctors and GPs and pharmacies, anyone who provides a service for the NHS or health and social care should be getting to grips with this and be in a position from the 31st of July to send people information in their preferred format. Sadly, we've realised that not too many people know about it, whether it's blind and partially sighted members and members of the public or even the GP practices themselves. So our Need It to Read It campaign is focusing on getting that information across to people. What we've done is we've designed a template letter that people can fill in and take to their GP practice. Obviously, because GP practices are the sort of gateway to all sorts of other services, they are required to share that information with other practices and with the hospitals and dentists and things like that. So we designed this letter for people to go in, take it to their GP, say, these are my communication requirements. I need you to do this for me. These are the reasons why. And can you share that information? And on the other side, we are talking to as many clinical commissioning groups, hospitals and GP services as we can to make them aware of the new regulations, but also to make them aware of that it's not necessarily as difficult as they think it's going to be to operate.
Quite a crucial point you made there as well, Marie, in that going to your GP with your requirements for your accessible information, and that should be cascaded to sort of other medical practitioners, etc., to save you going around everyone.
That's exactly it. That was the big part of campaigning for it, was that we didn't want the onus to be on blind and partially sighted people to have to chase around all these departments and talk to all their consultants and clinicians about it. We're saying go to your GP. If you're regularly at the hospital already, then if you want to let them know, that's fine. But the GP is the kind of starting point to get that information spread around any medical professionals. So if you get referred again to any sort of service, then that information will go with you, and it's on the computer systems, the national systems that medical professionals use, and they can share that information. So gone are the days that your GP will get it right. But as soon as you get referred to the eye clinic, for example, they'll still send you a 12-print letter.
And one of the points there as well for my next question, Marie, was what's the feedback been like from sort of medical professionals, health boards, etc.?
I think it's worth saying that medical professionals are really up for doing this. And a lot of them can't believe that there hasn't been any rules in place before to make sure that blind and partially sighted people get the right information. I think there was probably a bit of a fear around it. We've certainly found people ringing us up for advice around providing braille appointments and things like that, and a general worry about how difficult this is going to be. But actually, it's not a difficult thing to do. People have the technology to make things larger. They have the technology to send emails and text messages to their patients. And we can certainly refer them to people who will easily provide them braille. And it's been a real eye-opener to see people's attitudes. But generally, everyone's desperate to help and desperate to get it right. And the message we've certainly had from our members is that they shouldn't be scared about asking for this alternative format. It's not going to change the relationship with your GP. They really welcome the feedback and certainly want to help and do things to help.
So just remind us, Marie, when this should come into play and what geographical area?
So this is an England-only thing. It comes into full force from the 31st of July, so in a couple of weeks. And so people should be getting, next time they see their GP, they should be asking those sort of questions. But if they want to preempt it, then of course they can go now and send their letters in and let people know of their format. So from the 31st of July, at the moment we're looking for examples where people have had difficulties and haven't had quite the response that they had expected, just so that we can feedback and keep an idea of what's going on around the country. So if we do need to make some challenges, then we can certainly do that when it comes into full force at the end of July.
Now, we mentioned at the beginning, Marie,